Hey, welcome to Therapy Sessions, the podcast where we turn up the volume on mental health conversations. It's all powered by Happy Jack Entertainment, a pioneering entertainment company that uses music and media to champion mental health. Now, each episode features conscious conversations with guests who share their personal experiences with mental health challenges and the strategies they use to manage them. This podcast right here is your sanctuary for meaningful dialogues that inspire change. So join us for captivating interviews, eye-opening discussions, and a community that is committed to breaking stigmas and fostering a more inclusive world. What's up? I'm your host, Maxwell. So all you got to do is tune in to Therapy Sessions and be a part of the movement that's making mental health a conversation we can all be a part of.
It was really hard, and, you know, growing up having really nothing, but dreaming like massive, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Yeah, so it was that kind of upbringing, and but we made do with what we had. I tried to anyway, and I always believed, it's weird because we had nothing, but I always believed anything was possible, even though we didn't have much.
All right, we're going to chat. We're going to have some fun, fam. I mean, it's nothing anything different than what we've ever done before. I mean,
I guess.
They're already rolling. Look at us already starting the conversation, and they're all eavesdropping into this therapy session. What?
I'm the one person that needs a therapy session right now, for sure.
Never that. The smile is big. We haven't seen each other in real life in what has been quite literal, like, years, Nori, but it's feeling like we just picked up where we last left off. So I miss you in real life.
I miss you too in real life.
You know, but at least we get this, you know, love technology that we do get the chance to tap in. So appreciate you being a part of the pod.
I appreciate
in
you.
Dubai is where you are now, as I'm hanging out here in New York City. I guess you want to dive right into it and just kind of start chatting or what?
Let's freaking do it.
Tell me first, why Dubai now? Like what's up? Let's kind of sprinkle in that part of the conversation first. Why Dubai right now?
Well, I feel like because I'm Middle Eastern, it kind of makes the most sense to be in a place where, you know, you're surrounded by the culture you kind of grew up in. And
yeah,
me starting my music career in the States, I feel like I never tapped into the Middle Eastern market enough. So okay. I thought by being here, it's kind of a smarter move for me because I want to be a global artist. So I'm just trying to make sure I'm in these different places where my fan base is also at.
Yeah.
Just to develop more of a presence, be influenced by the type of music they do here and kind of merge the two, and you get Nori.
There it is. Yeah, I didn't know what you mean. Well, I mean, I know because I've been blessed to, you know, have had a similar conversation with you before to know what your story is and to see that we're in a different chapter of the book. But let's reel it back and let's share with those who are first timers here with the Therapy Session podcast and really getting to know how beautiful and how strong your story is. I mean, because we started to press record. We started to talk about how you're a unicorn. You know what I mean? A beautiful unicorn with a story that is just like so rich in strength and power. So let the world know like who Nori is and where it started. For sure.
Well, thank you. Well, where it started was where I was born. So I was born in a Syrian refugee camp. And to say it was a struggle is...
It's an understatement.
Crazy. It's an understatement. It really is an understatement. And I have to give it up to my mom, just watching her raise kind of six kids on her own from almost that point is who I am today, is why I am who I am today. And I really have to give it up to her. But I was born in a Syrian refugee camp. Literally, I was born in the tent. My sister was fortunate enough to be born in a hospital. You know, I was raised there for 3 years, and then New Zealand opened up the doors to us when I was three, and that's where we went. And, you know, going into a new country, being very, very grateful, but it's also a new country that you don't know anything about. You don't know the language. You're kind of starting from nothing with zero family around you. And it's just it was really hard. And, you know, growing up having really nothing, but dreaming like massive, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Yeah, so it was that kind of upbringing. And but we made do with what we had. I tried to anyway, and I always believed, it's weird because we had nothing, but I always believed anything was possible, even though we didn't have much. And I think that also, big ups to my mom to make us feel that way as well, because she made it feel like we really had everything on our birthdays and everything. So and I started singing. Honestly, I started singing when I was four. So just having the TV and just being able to watch my favorite performers and things like that was amazing, and being so close to the TV, like wanting to be inside.
Wanting to be there, wanting to be on that stage, wanting to be that person that shares their gift that someone is giving to you at that moment. That just must have been like the most, as you said, dreaming. That's a powerful thing to do.
Really is. It really is. And I just picked up what I thought I knew about singing and performing. And when I was about nine, I wanted to perform in front of my school, because as a Middle Eastern child, you're not allowed to go to camp in school. So we stayed back, and there was a talent quiz, which I was actually more excited for just because I wanted to see if I actually knew how to sing, and get people's reaction. And that's kind of why I did the talent quiz. And I sung When You Believe by Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey, which is a massive song for a nine-year-old.
For a nine-year-old, you tackle a song by two of the greatest to ever do it. What? I didn't know this.
The thing is, I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I did it a cappella, because at the time I didn't know how to sing to a backing track. And I received a standing ovation. I ended up winning. And the next day, one of the parents of the students was chasing me down, like after school, and she had bought me singing lessons. And that was such a crazy moment for me, because it truly made me believe in myself to be able to be like, wow, I can actually do it. Because if a stranger believes in me that much, I can believe in myself that much to actually try, just at least try, because I couldn't live my life not knowing. Yeah. My sister Jen, she really instilled work ethic into me, because, you know, the days where I didn't want to do a cover and post it, she'd be like, okay, cool, well, the next person's doing it. And I'd be like,
she was lighting that fire. Get up in there. A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was great. It was great because it gave me the work ethic I needed, especially now, like just seeing how hard you have to work, it really has paid off, because I feel like I do really work hard, and I'm grateful for where I am. And that's just kind of the story. It's just growing up. But
the thing that I'm getting from it, and that I'm hoping that people take away from it, is believing in oneself and taking a risk. I mean, how scary that is. And what I love is that you did that at a young age, where as kids, we really had no fear. You know what I mean? And you just kind of, you went for what you thought or believed was right. And you really trusted in yourself to have your closest family members around you, as you just kind of also mentioned, to support, to foster that energy. How special was it now that, you know, here we are grown adults and you fully can understand and look back, but, you know, had they not been
100%,
how cool is that 100%. To know that you had folks? Yeah.
It's the best feeling. And I feel for anyone that doesn't have that type of support, just that moral support is just, it's really uplifting, and it's things that you need. And, and when it's your family, cause they're usually the toughest ones on you. So,
for sure,
you know, you need that as well. So it's always good, because it helps you grow. It really does. And my family have been there for me since day one. There's been times where they're like, what are you doing? And then there's been times where it's like, we know exactly what you're doing. We believe in you. We trust you. And that's all I needed them to do, because I know what I wanted to do, and I know how to do it, or thought I knew how to do it. But, you know, I'm a sensible person. I'm responsible, and, you know, I have morals and I have values, and I just needed them to trust that and to let me go and let me do it. And they were able to do that. So
I want to ask you this. What do you think that you would have been doing had you not been an artist? Like, what would another career choice have been for Nuri? What do you think you'd have been?
Well, I'm a very creative person, so it definitely has to do something with being creative. But I always loved startups. There was something about startups that I loved, startup businesses, whether it was an app or a clothing line or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's always that process of trying to get something from the ground up.
Yeah.
That's definitely something I would have been doing, but I'm not canceling that out either because that's something I still can do. And
of course.
And pursuing to do for sure, because it's just one of my passions. I love it. I love it. And I studied computer science too, to get into the app space where I wanted to create games or whatever it is,
Are you talking like are you Call of Duty Fortnite Nuri? Do you have like a gamer tag or something that I don't know about?
You know, I do have Call of Duty though.
I love that. Yo, all right. Well, okay. She's like, don't see me on the stick, son. I got you. I got this. Oh, yeah. My God. You know, in the true essence of what this pod is about, it's about making sure that the heart is happy and healthy and, you know, really making sure that you fully take time for yourself to, you know, to nurture that inner being. And, you know, you don't expel too much energy in you know, doing for others and not looking after self. I want to stay here for just a little bit and ask, like, yeah, how happy is the heart right now, knowing that you're pursuing your dream, even though it's tough and it's difficult and it's taking you away from some of those people who you love the most?
Yeah. The heart is always happy when I'm doing music. Yeah. I will say that much. Yeah. You do get the days where you're about to throw in the towel. I'm not going to lie. You do have those days, but I just have to think about the position I'm in and where I was too, and how grateful I should be as well that I am even in a position to be able to do it. Because
yeah.
I think about kids in the refugee camp still that they don't even have the option to be able to do something that they want to do, you know? So that's always in the back of my mind. And I can't be ungrateful in that sense to be like, oh, I've had a bad day. And I just have to look at it that way sometimes, to be like, okay, you're having a bad day, but it's not that bad. You can get through it type thing. So
that's
kind of what keeps me grounded and gets me back to focusing on the positive things and pushing forward and focusing and, you know, goals and whatnot. But I'm not going to lie, there are days where I do get in my head like that for sure. And I'm not going to lie, the last 2 days were even like that.
Really? And
usually, yeah. And usually I'm one to keep things to myself, but I've been trying to learn to not bottle things up. And it gets to a point where, you know, I don't know how to handle a day because everything's just kind of bottled up. I literally never do this, but I was calling as much people as possible and just kind of telling them how I felt. And just to make sure that I wasn't going crazy, or am I being like, am I overreacting, or am I actually alone?
In that moment, how freeing did it feel to be able to just pick up the phone and just release that energy? I mean, I'm guessing and betting it was like the coolest, just the simplest text. You know what I mean? Just picking up the phone and just chatting with somebody for 2 minutes, maybe even. You could even been on the toilet when you were texting. Who knows? But whatever. You know what I'm saying? You got that out of your system and you did it. How freeing did that feel at that moment in time?
It is freeing. And it actually makes you so much stronger. You don't even realize. Like, I thought, because back in the day, I think, oh my God, if I talk about my feelings, I'm going to look so weak, and I don't want to look weak because I'm supposed to be the strong person. But you're actually so much stronger when you actually talk about it and get through it. And it just felt, exactly like a release that I needed and kind of gets me back here and not so much here in my head. So it was very freeing, and I was reminded.
We were talking before, you know, the lights and the cameras, all that stuff started going, about, you know, how we try to occupy our time to stay busy so we don't have those moments where we think about things too much. Guilty of it. A lot of people do it. It's been something I've worked on for ages. I mean, pursuing a dream, pursuing a goal, you know, and you want to just stay after it because, you know, when you do sit down and think sometimes, you know what I mean? You do get yourself all bottled up in those emotions that you have inside. When abouts did you start to kind of realize and figure, like, you know what, man? I mean, was it a year ago? Was it 2 years ago? Was it when I don't know. You did, like, at what point in time in your life did you realize and you start to think like, man, let me start to work on, you know, communicating, or, you know what I mean? Or not being so busy so that way I can be okay with these thoughts, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it started for me during COVID.
Yeah.
Because I had to physically, and I could, like, I had to physically be in one place and I couldn't move even if I wanted to. That was the hardest moment for me. And I know for a lot of people, but it helped me kind of just stop and think and kind of readjust and just everything. It's just like, what am I doing? How do I move forward now that I have this massive obstacle in front of me? How do I move forward from it? And it was just literally just a matter of being silent for a while.
Yep.
and not overthinking while I'm silent too, because I know a lot of the times back in the day, I used to, whenever I was too still, I would overthink everything and make it even bigger than it actually was.
Yeah.
During COVID, I was trying to learn how to be still and not overthink. And that was where I found like a bit of peace.
For sure. We all dealt with that. So can totally empathize and understand. And what were some of the things that you chose to do? Like I started reading more. I'm not going to lie, this wasn't a good thing, but I was snacking a lot, but whatever, you know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with a Twinkie here and there. Yeah, everyone was. But what were some of the things that you started to pick up, like some new habits? What were some of those things that you found out that you actually loved because you had, you know, we all had to take a pause for a bit. And you're like, yo, I didn't know that I liked this that much.
Honestly, I think the one thing, like, I was doing everything that I would normally do, which is like home workouts and things like that, but with my family, which I never do. I usually work out on my own. So it was much more fun actually working out with family. It was actually NFTs and crypto that I got into.
Word.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And I was trying to just, I was asking my brother-in-law, like, oh, can you tell me about this? By the time he tried to explain it to me, I was like, let me just do this on my own. So I was just doing my own research. Yeah. I don't have time for this. Let me try to do this. So I was just researching and everything, trying to figure out what the hell NFTs even were and like crypto and all that stuff. And I had, you know, saved a bit of money, and I don't know why, but it was COVID. I was like, you know what? If I F this up, then I'm at home anyway.
Let's go. Oh my God. What I'm hearing.
I bet on myself.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That's exactly what I was about to say. What I'm hearing from this is that you bet on yourself, like you've done your entire life, and you took the bull by the horns, as they say, and you learned and you sought after a goal to be the best that you could be in this moment. I mean, gosh, how, I hope a lot of people, and I hope that you hear this, and how often you hear this is a question that I want to ask, but you know, how amazing you are to really have this drive. I mean, do you take the time to, you know, to tell yourself that, or do, you know, those closest to you hopefully reassure you that, you know, that's a very, very special and unique quality, dude. Seriously.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet. Thank you. Honestly, it's something I did need to hear. But I just always feel like it's just a natural thing that I have that I didn't learn to have or practice. It was just something that's instilled in me. And I feel like it's just, you feel like you've always got something to prove, which I don't think so anymore, but there's always this thing in the back of my mind that I'm like, I'm not too hard on myself with this anymore, but I'm like, I'm not where I need to be because my goals are this big.
Yeah.
So I need to, like, my drive needs to be at 100, and I need to be working harder than anybody else in this room because I feel like I have something to prove. Like that Syrian refugee girl has got something to prove, and she has to be on the world stage so that other kids that were in her position or that are in similar situations can look up and be like, wow, I can do it too. And that's honestly what drives me the most. And I don't think about myself anymore in that position. It's just like, that's just what it is. And that is my purpose, truly is. And I found that purpose the day I released Where Do We Go From Here, when I got this video back.
You've been listening to Therapy Sessions, powered by Happy Jack Entertainment. Make sure you're subscribing to our podcast to be alerted when our next episode drops and when we continue the conversation. Speaking of conversation, if you like what you've heard and want to help us grow, all you got to do is leave a review. And if you feel like you want to take action and join the movement, well, just make sure to tag us at Happy Jack Entertainment on Instagram and hashtag Therapy Sessions Pod so we can join in as well.